What a huge endorsement for Alex Golish.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy dadgum Thursday. Alex Golish gets a huge endorsement slash comparison that I think all Auburn fans would be ecstatic if it comes even remotely close to being true. We're going to talk about that, play a clip, break it down. There's a 5-for-5 ruling. It's not really a loophole, but we're going to call it a loophole that I'm interested to see if people will start taking advantage of. And then a top prospect releases his top five. Auburn's in it. Where does Auburn stand? We're going to talk about all that here right now. Let's jump right into it. Steve Wiltfong, Rivals top recruiting analyst, goes on Jocks 94.5. I believe it's the McElroy and Kubelik show, and just gives a gigantic endorsement to everything that's going on with Alex Golish right now at Auburn. It's a little bit long. It's a little over a minute, but we're going to play it, and then we're going to break it down. Here we go.
Recruiting at a high level, they have the resources and the support to continue to compete on the trail with the heavyweights. And I think as this moves forward, you're going to see Coach Golish and his administration and staff continue to organize and rally resources around this program. I like what they did in the transfer portal from a culture standpoint. This quarterback that they have coming in from USF that put up over 4,000 yards of total offense, there is not a better leader in the sport that's going to help set the tone for where this program's going to go down the road. And I think we'll continue to see them recruit at a high level and stack recruiting classes. And I believe that Auburn's going to be a player in the transfer portal after this season. It's just a staff full of good dudes, great energy in the building, great cohesiveness. It's an environment that kind of reminds me of what Dan Lanning's got going on at Oregon, where everybody loves coming to work, being around the head coach. He kind of – now Coach Golish has got to prove it at a place like Auburn, right? You know, but if, as far as like creating a culture in the building, which I know you know, Cole, you've been inside – it is a fun place to be right now, and it's resonating with recruits. But you got to have the support to get the recruits also, and they have those resources.
Love everything he said there. There's two big things I want to break down. Number one, the comparison of the culture that's going on at Oregon under Dan Lanning. I think that's a fantastic comparison for what Coach Golish is building here at Auburn. And what are the things that Oregon has going on that are appealing right now? Like, obviously, the coach is relatable. Dan Lanning, he's young. He's got a lot of energy. And just that whole brand has sort of embraced him, and he's embraced that brand. And that's what's drawing kids there. And I know that you're going to go, oh, yeah, but what about the money? Like, Oregon's got the money. Well, the money is not going to go to just anybody. Like, there has to be two sides that are somewhat in love with each other and pulling in the same direction. When that happens, it unlocks a lot of things. It unlocks a lot of potential that maybe you didn't have prior. Maybe that you wouldn't have had prior. When both sides are kind of on the same page. And that's the way it feels right now with everyone that's around the program off the field, actually outside of the building, not even involved with the athletic department, and then everything that Coach Golish is doing. Like, it just feels like everybody's kind of pulling in the same direction. Oregon has one of those – it's just like a sexy name. Like, right now, like, every top recruit, and we're going to talk about one a little bit later, it seems like Oregon's going to be in one of their top, you know, 4 to 5 right now, even if they're all the way down in the Southeast, just because of the environment, plus the marrying that with Dan Lanning, who just seems to get it. That's why it's working. And you're starting to kind of see that on a lower level. Like, I'm not trying to say Auburn's arrived at the Oregon level as far as recruiting goes, but the environment fits. Like, Oregon, it is a state school, but it's so far out of off the beaten path that it's not always been that giant brand. It's been kind of one of those, I'm trying to think of a really good comparison. It's been one of those, fad is not the right word, trendy. It's becoming more and more trendy with like this new era of college football. And Auburn and what's going on with Golish right now has a similar vibe. It's not going to be your traditional like top five or six schools that are just, you know, have been historically great throughout history of college football, but it's one of those schools that's had big success, but it's different. It's outside of the box. It's fun. That's the way Auburn feels right now. And I completely agree with Steve Wiltfong as far as diagnosing that and kind of seeing that. I've never thought about that comparison before, but once you hear him say it, it makes a ton of sense. Now, is Auburn ever going to have Oregon money? Probably not. But you can create Oregon vibes. You can create the Oregon excitement at a place like Auburn. And I think Golish has really harnessed that. And I will give him, like, the most credit I can give Alex Golish is on seeing stuff like not working, if that makes sense, and being able to figure out a way to fix it quickly and move in the right direction. The way they've pivoted in this recruiting class, I mean, we act like we don't remember how this thing started off, and maybe we don't because it's been so much fun. But it started off rough. Like, let's just be honest. You had two commits for, like, forever, it felt like. And then you had one decommit. And then all of a sudden, boom, something happens and Auburn just explodes. And not only does it explode, but it feels like the environment around it exploded as well. The ability to be humble enough to understand when things don't work, and then the speed in which to pivot to something that does work. Guys, how many times do we just bang our head against the wall because we have a coach that's like set in their ways, and we all know, or we can point to like what the weaknesses are, and that particular coach or staff or whatever can't seem to ever want to pivot towards what works. I can literally do a whole podcast on examples. It's so refreshing to see this play out right in front of our eyes where, hey, we lost a bunch of dudes in the portal. Probably some guys we could have retained. And I'll tell you this, we probably replaced a lot of those guys with guys that may not be quite as talented, but probably paid the same amount of money. So we let talented guys go, and we replaced them with guys that cost about the same amount of money. So we learned a big lesson right up front on values, okay, of players. And they took that information, and now they've pivoted into the high school ranks, and you're seeing it just explode. You're seeing everything seem to work like a well-oiled machine. I mean, taking that and then taking some of the high school stuff you learned as well early on, taking your lumps and then not taking 2 to 3 years to be able to figure out how to recruit in the SEC at the high school level, all of that, man, is fantastic. Like, that stuff is just really refreshing to see. And then you throw in the comment about Byron Brown and like how it's not so much the production is great. Like, don't get me wrong. Bringing in a guy that's put up 4,000 yards of offense, like, fantastic. But the leadership aspect and, like, the buy-in from everybody around Byron Brown almost instantly, the minute he steps on campus, the leadership aspect of that and the culture aspect of bringing that guy in and the value from both of those things, to me, are priceless. It's cool to hear other people sort of acknowledge that too and articulate it like way better than I've been able to articulate it. Sum it all up right there. You brought in a quarterback that not only is productive, but it's going to help change the culture. And then you got a coach who's already within 6 months seemingly kind of figured out the lay of the land and maybe even had a plan going in. That plan didn't work and then was able to just flip it instantly and find stuff that does work, and they're working at an elite level. So that's all off the field stuff. So imagine what happens on the field if it's the same, you know, kind of deal. We have an idea of what we want to do. Hey, it doesn't work. We're going to be able to find a solution and pivot and not have enough pride or not have too much pride to be able to pivot and change things to find success. Feels like we got something cooking, man. I love it. Still got to see the results on the field. I'm not going to argue about that for sure. Like, that's got to happen. And if that happens, watch out. There's something interesting about this 5-for-5 deal that I'm seeing people talk about. I want to see if it actually plays out, though, this way. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Dadgummit, if you're an Auburn business owner, I just got off the phone with one earlier. Super cool product. We're going to be pumping it up here soon. If you're an Auburn business owner, there is no better value of advertising your product, your service to Auburn fans than buyauburn.com. And guess what? It's less than $1 a day to be able to do it. You can't beat it. And then you can record your own podcast with me talking Auburn ball and promoting your business, and you got that forever to share. It's an awesome value. And then Auburn fans, you know the deal. If you're part of the Auburn family, if you say you're part of the Auburn family and you start a buying process, you need to start it at buyauburn.com so you can see, confirm, is there an Auburn person I can do this with first? It's buyauburn.com. Can't beat it. We'll be back right after this. So there's something interesting, apologies for that, there's something interesting about this 5-for-5 deal that I'm seeing coming up that, and I'm also seeing people talk about this, and I want to get your thoughts and kind of let it, kind of spell it out for you and see if this is something that we think could be an issue or whatnot moving forward. Okay, so 5 to play 5. You got 5 years. No red shirt, just kind of is what it is, okay? No appeals, all that good stuff. The questions and everything has been around, when does that 5-year clock start? How do you do that? How do you start that 5-year clock? And the verbiage has been, okay, so the clock either starts when you enroll in college, which most people, obviously, you graduate in May, you may enroll in the summer, or you may enroll in the fall, August, or whatever the college destination of your choice, and then your clock starts. But then there's that 19-year-old portion of it that's thrown in there as well. And the way it's worded is you either enroll in college or it starts in the calendar year after you turn 19. Most freshmen in college turn 19 at some point in time in their freshman year. Okay, so let's put those things together, and you may be able to think about what potential loophole could come about here. All right, if you happen to have one of those later birthdays, like me, my birthday's in January. Okay, so I would have turned 19, or I did turn 19, after in January of my freshman year of college. So I was 18 when I enrolled and then I turned 19 in January. So what do you think people might start looking at doing? There's always talk about should you hold kids back, should you do this, depending on their birthday. But if it's the point of when you, if the clock starts when you enroll in college or the year that you turn 19, do you think that people are not going to start holding back kids like on the regular, specifically kids that could be Division I athletes? Because what's going to end up happening is, you know, if especially if you have a late birthday, you're an 18-year-old guy, and if people start holding folks back, you're going to be going in your first year, and you're going to be going up against guys that are at least 1 year, you know, maybe a year and a half older. You're going to be behind, and schools are going to want to maximize those 5 years. Like if you only got five, I want five of the best years. So what kind of controversy or what kind of issues could we have with people starting to hold guys back or, I don't know, take a sabbatical or whatever they do to manipulate that window so that you're the oldest you can possibly be of that five-year window when you start? You know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. I think the 5 for 5 is a spectacular idea. I don't really understand why this 19-year-old thing has to come into play. I really don't get it. Like, kids graduate. Could this potentially end early enrollment? Like, if you early enroll, you're kind of behind the eight ball because you're the youngest you will be. You, if you enroll in December, you will be the youngest of that 5 years to play five versus waiting. I wonder if they've thought that out, because I've already seen people start to figure out ways to manipulate it so you can be the oldest, the biggest, the fastest, get the most out of those 5 years. If you're only getting five, hey, we're going to try to get the best five. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm already starting to see people figure out loopholes. I'd be interested on your thoughts there. Let me know what you think in the comments about the 5 for 5 and should there be any type of adjustments to it. What's the best start? What is the true best start date? To me, it feels like it should be August 1 of the fall after you graduate high school. And that's it. Hey, if you graduate early, you just graduate early, my guy. That's it. So you do what you got to do. Even if you enroll early, August 1, the year after you finish high school, that clock should start, in my opinion. Screw all this 19-year-old stuff. Like, why are we even having that? There's just going to be people that try to abuse it. Let me know your thoughts. Tay Walden, one of the top recruits left on Auburn's board, drops a top five, and Auburn's obviously in it, going up against Ole Miss, Oregon, who we've been talking about earlier today, Georgia, and LSU. Really feels like this thing's going to be an Auburn and Oregon battle. And I know whenever you hear that, hey, we've already experienced that one time this year, didn't go our way. Anytime you go head-to-head, I don't know that Auburn's won one recently. I mean, I can think of a bunch, actually. Auburn going head-to-head with Oregon hasn't really worked out in Auburn's favor very much. Tay is – if Auburn were to land Tay, he's the best player in the class, in my opinion. He's a kid that you could legitimately start as a day-one starter at corner or maybe even a day-one starter at wide receiver when he actually gets here. He's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal athlete. Just does everything so, so well. His commitment date, I believe, is July 1st, which I've talked about before. That's not very far away. My gosh, now that I'm looking at it, that is just a little over a week away. There's No visits can be had right now. Everything that's been done is done. Okay. The only thing now you got is the back and forth communication, which I'm sure with coaching staff, with player personnel staff, with agents, all that good stuff. That's just communication via phone, Zoom, whatever, because there is no visiting anymore. There's no coaches going to visit. There's no kids going to visit. It's the dead period. So I tell you what, man, if Auburn were to pull this one off, to the moon, take it to the moon with excitement, because these guys know what the heck they're doing if they can pull this off. I think he loves Auburn. I think he would love to be at Auburn. Can't be dumb, though. You can't be dumb about business decisions. And we're getting to the point where it is a business decision. So we'll see what happens. Gosh, that would send Auburn's class into overdrive. This kid's just so good, man. Guys, let me know what you think. Hit me up in the comments, and we will talk again very, very soon. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that YouTube premium subscription, too, so you can get all of the bonus content that we drop 5 dadgum days a week. Yeah, you get the free content that we put out 5 days a week, but there's also stuff that you can't get anywhere that we put behind the paywall as well. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.